What's good, family? It's your boy, D. Moraney, and you're listening to an episode of Solo Dolo, presented to you by the one and only An Honest Conversation About Hip-Hop. So Solo Dolo's when I get together with you and we talk about the week in hip-hop, things that have transpired in hip-hop. We get all up in it and we talk about it. Or actually, I just talk to you and then hopefully you listen. So this week we got a lot of stuff lined up. So just big shout outs really quickly. King OG, Sam Capone, Bootlegs and B-Sides. You know, that's a crew from An Honest Conversation About Hip-Hop. You can find us on the Digital Soapbox Network via Audio Boom. But you can also check us out on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere else you can find quality podcasts. So let's get into the show. Our first topic this week is the young man. Daniel Hernandez is how he told the court to call him. Don't call me 6ix9ine anymore. Call me Daniel Hernandez. So Daniel Hernandez, a.k.a. 6ix9ine, I don't want to say beat his case, but he avoided some jail time stemming from that charge that he had with the minor where he allegedly recorded the youngster, basically recorded a sex act. There's no way to get around that. It is what it is. He recorded a sex act. So, I told you earlier in other Solo Bolo broadcasts that 6ix9ine's, not charitable acts, but just what he was doing seemed to be out of character for where he was portraying himself as being this tough gangster, Mr., you know, your mother can do this with my body parts, right? So, one of the reasons that 6ix9ine is going to avoid going to jail and is going to be hit with 4 years of probation and about 1,000 hours of community service, the judge stated that was due to his charitable acts, and he felt that they were genuine, and this was something that he was doing because he just loved people. And Mr. Hernandez in court said that he was very remorseful for what had happened, and he hoped that people didn't see him as the artist 6ix9ine, but saw him as Daniel Hernandez. Now, one of the clauses, I don't know what they call them, so I'm not going to pretend like I do, but one of the provisions that's put into Mr. Hernandez's probation is that he cannot hang around gangsters, and he even has to stop saying Treyway, which is his hood or his record label, whatever, you know, you're choosing to believe at this time. So my question to y'all, my first question to y'all this tonight is, what is he going to do now musically, now that he can't hang around gangsters and now that he can't start every record off with Treyway? And that energy, I'm assuming, is going to have to be different if the judge or whoever's going to monitor his probation officer is going to be taking a look at his situation going forward. So does his music change? Does 6ix9ine go that reggaeton route? We saw him make a couple joints in Spanish. Is that where he's going to go for the next couple years to stay out of trouble? Or will he continue to kind of do the same thing, you know, his middle finger to the authorities or the people who are trying to give him some game and lead him the right way? So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with that. If you recall a couple episodes back, we discussed the people supposedly behind Daniel Hernandez. And the New York Times recently published an article where they were speaking with the NYPD Police Department, and the police department was a little worried and concerned that Daniel Hernandez was going to start the next East Coast, West Coast beef due to the fact that after his hearing, he went somewhere to celebrate. Don't know if it was his daughter's birthday or don't know if it was just a, hey, I'm not going to jail, so let's celebrate type of situation. And unfortunately, there was an incident at the restaurant where he was having this celebration. Now, information comes out after the fact that this incident at this location supposedly is between himself and his entourage and the entourage of Elliot Grange and his entourage, or Elliot Grange and his entourage. So a lot of you, again, probably don't know who that is, but we talked about this on a previous episode of Solo Bolo or Solo Dolo, the people who were behind Tekashi 6ix9ine. So when we talked about Elliot Grange, and you understand where his father is positioned at, I think it's Universal, the CEO of that company, and Elliot, his son, has a record label that, interestingly enough, has Triple Red and 6ix9ine both signed. Both signed. Well, according to, I guess, sources within the NYPD, this is where this new East Coast versus West Coast beef is stemming from. So Tekashi is beefing with the cat that he is signed to and has been signed to for a long period of time. Now, if you tend to believe that, that's going to be very interesting. And we'll see how that plays out. Now, I don't believe there will be another East Coast, West Coast beef, just for the simple fact that I don't see anybody on the East Coast willing to really ride for Tekashi at this point. And there really isn't a legitimate beef. I mean, when the first East Coast, West Coast beef went down, there was no legitimate beef in that either. But there was some strong sentiments on both sides of the coast, wherever you were from, right? And I just don't see that here. You know, Tekashi's fan base are the internet thugs. So there might be an East Coast, West Coast computer hacking that goes down. So all my brothers on the West Coast, my brothers and sisters, make sure all your passwords have been changed and your computers are encrypted, because the East Coast computer hackers are coming for us. So, in my opinion, and this is what the show is about, just opinions, I hope that the young man, 6ix9ine, has the right people around him. I've been saying this since day one. And he can do something else than make this rah-rah tough guy music that, you know, we know that he's not living. And we know he's not, you know, walking the walk. And that's probably 60% of these cats in the game. But the difference is, or not the difference is, because a lot of these dudes have these same stipulations, that now you're facing jail time. You have this little silly beef with your label mate, Trippie Red. He just had his chick, ex-chick in his bed. Y'all been going back and forth over this. And I think it was J. Cole who said it in one of the tracks off of KOD. Where he's saying that, hey, there's some cats who want to beef with me, and I got some cats who want to pull the trigger. And ultimately, this is what happens in the majority of rap beefs. It's not your favorite rapper doing the dirt, or even sometimes somebody from your favorite rapper's entourage. A lot of times it is the fan or the fanatic or a hanger on that ends up doing the dirt that really starts something. So hopefully everybody who's involved in this situation is smarter than they look. And my gut feeling is this just is a way to continue to push and promote this young man. And if that's what it is, then shame on you, the folks who are putting this out there. But I'd rather have it be a publicity stunt than something that is real. So hopefully he learns from this, and we'll see what the next 3 years holds for Tekashi. See if that debut album, the official album, I know he says he's got some new music coming, and I'm sure his fans are waiting for that. His beautiful, dark, twisted fantasy is over. So if you're a fan of this man, you know who I'm referencing. Kanye West. So now this is a little old, but I did want to go ahead and touch on this. So late the week before, Kanye himself came out and said, look, I'm gone. I'm no longer on the Trump plantation. And he said he felt used and taken advantage of. Not by Trump himself, but by the people who are around Trump, specifically Candace Owens, who some of you might be aware of. She's an African-American sister who was pro-Trump and one of the people at the forefront of the Blexit. So you're probably like, D, what the fuck is a Blexit? And Blexit is basically the black exit from the Democratic Party. So we know Kanye West was on this free thinker. And, you know, we've been told to vote this way. We've been told to believe in this. And I am rejecting all of that. I don't believe in it any longer. And I'm going to, find what makes me happy, support that, champion that. He was at the White House on some way out, you know, shit, and, you know, calling for Larry Hoover to be freed, calling for prison reform, things of that nature. So I guess the last straw for him was when Candace Owens said, hey, I'm going to create some Blexit t-shirts, and I'm going to tell the New York Times, big shout out to them, they're two for two when it comes to the show today, that basically Kanye himself went ahead and designed the shirts. So I knew it was a lie from the moment that I saw the photos of the shirts, because the shirts were intact. They didn't have holes in them. There weren't threads hanging out of them. Didn't have little nice knife cuts. You know, none of that. It was an intact, actual shirt. It just said Blexit across the middle, and had somebody like with some outstretched arms or something like that. So I know Kanye could have not done that, because there wasn't extra foam on the bottom of the sweater or the shirt or any of that. It was just a regular shirt. And we know Kanye West is not regular in any way. So, all jokes aside, he took offense to that. And he said, hey, I felt like I'm being used. And the things that I think I believe in, I don't believe anymore. So I'm going to step back. I'm going to step away from politics. And I'm going to get into music. So we'll see. Twalib Kweli took to Instagram to salute him for making progress, and then followed that up with, hey, we have a joint album that might possibly come out. There was a couple other notable rappers who, Busta Rhymes, big ups to him, we'll say get the fuck out of here with that, not fucking with you, Kanye. So it's gonna be very interesting to see what happens with Kanye and his rebrand. During a rebrand, after a rebrand, is going to be very interesting to see how they go ahead and pull that off. Now, music will soothe and music will make things better for him. So we'll see what type of music comes out. Again, I'm not saying I'm giving him any passes in regards to that. I've never been a big Kanye West fan, but he still has fans out there, a lot of fans out there. And I'm sure that they want him to do the best he can and provide them with the best music possible. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with Ye. Is he still calling himself Ye or Ye or whatever the situation is? So, I mean, we'll see. We'll see what he does for Chicago. Will he now leave Chicago now that he has been lied to, bamboozled, and hoodwinked? Is he going to come back to the safety of Calabasas and the arms of a loving Kardashian? We'll have to see. Speaking of going back or coming back, finally, after, I don't know, maybe 5 years, maybe 6 years, Ice Cube announced that December 7th, Everything Corrupt is finally dropping. Now, for Cube fans, it's, like I said, been a long, long, long-awaited album. And he said many times he was going to release it. It was going to be part of a 25th anniversary of America's Most Wanted, all this kind of other stuff, and it just never materialized. Rumored songs would drop, and folks would get nothing. This was kind of like the detox that nobody was really super checking for. But once the announcement came out, you saw how many fans Cube still had. So there's definitely folks out there who are looking for new Ice Cube material in 2018. So my question in regards to the Cube fans and just in general is, what are we going to get? Are we going to get the militant street Cube, America's Most Cube, Predator, Death Certificate? Are we going to go ahead and get that Cube? Because the time is right. There's a lot to talk about. And, you know, that's why I was a Cube fan until he did War and Peace. And even before that, when what was it, West Side Connection, if I'm not mistaken, came before War and Peace. So I kind of started trailing off of being a big fan of him around that time. So it'll be interesting. I think he is going to straddle a line. Outside of music, Cube is a very powerful person within the movie industry. Cube Vision, For those that didn't know or don't know or might not be in the know, Cube Vision was a big part of why Disney decided to purchase Fox. And so Disney has what's called the first rights for anything that comes out of Cube Vision. So are we going to get another, what's the flicks with 21 Jump Street flick? Are we going to get another Friday? You know, so there's some films that Cube is attached to that are franchises already. I know, I think they're doing a Roberto Clemente movie, I think, starring his son. So there's a lot of stuff that Cube is definitely doing. His movies do tremendously well at the box office, especially within the urban community. And you know, that's who's buying tickets to the movies, folks. It's us. So it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see how Cube balances what he's going to deliver for us. And with the album title, Everything is Corrupt, it would sound like to me that you're going to speak on the ills of what's happening within this, within society. So I definitely want to hear that. And Q being the elder statesman of the game will definitely be a much needed record if it's done right. But we'll see. December 7th is not too far away. So it's going to be very interesting to see what we get from one O'Shea Jackson. And I know that we have a lot of folks out there who are hoping that they get the album that they've been waiting for. So I think 2019 could be, or end of 2018, coming into 2019 could be a very interesting year. Maybe we'll finally get a Detox. Maybe we'll finally get that Black Hippie record. Maybe there'll be a lot of different things that we have been waiting for that that pop up. So we'll see. For those that have come at 45, Donald Trump in music hasn't really went well. T.I., his album, which I'm hearing is pretty dope, I haven't had a chance to listen to it, didn't do too well commercially. Eminem never got that response back, and some will say that's the reason his core fan base turned against him. So that'll be interesting as well. And on a non-hip-hop note, Barbara Streisand, I think is that's her name, right? Barbara Streisand has a whole album ready for Trump. She's going to go ahead and lick shots on President Trump on an album. So we'll see. We'll see who does better. First week numbers, Ice Cube or Barbara Streisand. Now, normally I start off shows with rest in pieces, and I'm going to go ahead and give a big, well, not a big, but rest in peace to Roy Hargrove, who's a very famous Grammy Award winner and is a trumpeter for cats like Badu, D'Angelo. He was part of the famous Soulquarians, and that's somebody I'm hoping we get an album from, or a group of people that get an album from, composed of folks like Badu, Common, The Roots. Who am I missing? D'Angelo's and the Soulquarians. Just a bunch of people who make music and love music, and Mr. Hargrove was part of this. Now, where does he suffered a fatal heart attack in New York City, and again contributed to albums like Mama's Gun from Badu, Common's Like Water for Chocolate. And it's sad. It's sad because this brother was only 49 years old, and you know, hip-hop, young black men in general, really need to focus on their health. I've said this a couple times on this show. I've said this on an honest conversation about hip-hop, something that we take for granted, you know, and something that we have never been taught to really care about. And I'll be the first one to admit that. A lot of you folks don't know that less than probably about a year and a half ago, well, some of y'all know this, I was close to 600 pounds. And I had to do something about it. And I didn't want to go the route of surgery like others had. No disrespect to anybody who's done any of the surgeries. But I knew what my problem was. I wasn't active. And I was eating late and I had bad habits. So I changed that. And today I'm roughly about 380 pounds. Still have a long way to go, but I feel much better about myself. So I say that to say that anything you put your mind to, you can definitely do. And when it comes to our health, it's something that we definitely need to focus on. It's habits that we need to change, things that have been ingrained now in our culture, especially when we speak on hip hop and the bad habits that come with that, that have now been passed over, have transcended music, and have now really come into the culture of the black community. So again, rest in peace, Roy Hargrove, 49 years old. So I'm gonna go ahead and give him a moment of silence. Rest in peace. So Sam Capone and I sat down a couple weeks ago and we talked about Quavo and his record. And we asked, hey, are more Migos albums coming now that Quavo has dropped? And lo and behold, yes, Takeoff. He's released his solo debut, The Last Rocket. I've not heard it yet, but Bosco shot a little 50-second video recently, and he seemed unimpressed by it. So I'll try to get into rotation and give you my thoughts on that later. Maybe we'll do an episode of Honest Conversation where we talk about this. Now, Culture 3 is going to be due out in 2019. And again, the album's available for streaming. You can catch that out on iTunes. 12 songs, 38 minutes. That's crazy. 38 minutes, 12 songs. So I'm not sure who's featured on this. I don't know how many features you could have on a 38 minute album with 12 songs. So that's gonna be funny. Other new music out. Long Beach's own Vince Staples. He dropped FM featuring J-Rock, Tyga, and E-40, and some other notable names are on there as well. I'm more of a Vince fan when it comes to his interviews and his trolling than his music, but we'll check that out as well. Young Metro, a young producer who retired, I guess, felt like he wasn't getting the credit he was getting, and famous for a whole bunch of tracks that he's done, and multiple heavy hitting singles that he's produced. Thought he wasn't getting the recognition, took a pause, said I'm retired, but he's back with a project that's coming out called Not All Heroes Wear Capes. So that will definitely be something I'm sure these young folks will be checking for. My man, the Barry Horowitz of rap, pat yourself on the back, Mr. Action Bronson. He's out with White Bronco. And on that album, he's got, of course, Mayhem, Lorraine, one of my favorite MCs. ASAP Rocky, others are on there. He also announced he's no longer on Vice. He's taking a Fuck That's Delicious somewhere else, which is odd because, well, it's not odd. It's strange that Vice is letting all these shows go. First Izzy Samero, now Action and Fuck That's Delicious. Will Hong's World be next? We'll see. But go support Action. You know, I know he got a lot of shit when he first started for kind of sounding like Ghostface. But as he's grown on you, or as he's matured as an MC, you know, I see less of the similarities every time I listen to new Action Bronson. So somebody I'm definitely fucking with Action. Big ups to him. I didn't want to cover Miss Azalea And I don't mean Banks. I mean the other crazy one, Iggy. But speaking of people who are leaving their situations, she took to whatever social media shits to announce that she was a free agent. She was no longer signed to, I think she was on Island or some shit like that. And she did so not by dropping new music, like I'm ready. I got some heat. Island, you shouldn't have dropped me. I got these, you know, sneaky sneakers just here chilling. No, she didn't do that. She twerked in a kitchen to announce the release of, or getting released out of her contract. Now, I'm not a hater. Use what you got, do what you got to do. But this is where we need some accountability, folks. So, she twerks. Then, and forget me if I'm, or if I'm wrong, please, I'm sorry. There's a porn production company, Bang Brothers or something to that effect. Brazzers. I know the famous folks. I'm not into the porn game where I know all that. I know just enough to get my search on if I need to. So they offered her a contract, not a recording contract, but a contract to come down and get in the flick. And so she fired back that she felt that she was being harassed. And as it's the day and age that we're living in, where women, yada, 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 yada. Now, I love women. My mother's a woman. My wife is a woman. My sister's a woman. My nieces are women. I'm pro-woman. But ladies, and I'm only really speaking to Iggy. Iggy, what did you expect? You've been shaking your hindquarters now for probably about a good 6, 7, 8 months, thirst trapping. Jermaine Dupri, we see you. A lot of other people liking your pictures, comments, the whole nine, the little emoji eyes and things of that nature. So when you give off that energy, what type of energy do you think is going to come back? And this is the internet. So you know it can go down at any moment. Any moment. So again, not to judge, I would hope that you wouldn't go the route of doing an adult flick. If that's something you aspire to, then be all that you can be. But maybe you could fall back, maybe work on some music, and come back and try to revive the very short, brief career that you have. We've talked about this on an episode of An Honest Conversation about hip hop and the white MC, female MC, and not having any longevity. Be super dope if you'd be able to beat those odds and come back, Iggy, and be that person to give us maybe 2, 3 records. And, you know, be the first white female MC to establish some longevity in the game. Again, no hate, but what'd you expect? Who did you expect to reach out and want to sign you as you're twerking? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about on that one. Oh, your boy, our boy, the one and only Mr. Take That, Take That, turned 49 over the week. 49 years old for Mr. P. Diddy, Brother Love, whatever the hell he's calling himself right now. Him and Jay-Z have just collabed on an app that is going to allow you to find where there's black businesses so you can spend your money. So I'm all about that. Support black businesses. Support all local businesses, regardless of cover or color. If they're in your community and they're doing your community right, make sure that you're supporting them. But the reason I bring this up, not to shout him out and say, you know, happy birthday to Diddy. No, he's fucked up too many records for that, in my opinion. But the funniest shit that I heard Diddy related this week was, remember the group Danity Kane? They were Diddy's second or third attempt at trying to revive making the band. And what I mean is reality show wise. I know that Danity Kane and making a band are two completely separate different things. But they said, and sit down, if you're not sitting down, please sit down, because this is going to probably hurt, well, not hurt you, but you're gonna be shocked. Like, what was it, Kev on stage when he said he found out that what's my man's name that sings Do for Love, just evaded me, I just had it right now in my mind, Bobby Caldwell. When Kev on stage said he found out Bobby Caldwell was white, he was shook. He had to question his life. So when Danity Kane did this interview, and I just saw a little snippet of this portion, and Danity Kane said that Diddy only cares about Diddy, I was shocked. I had to go back and question everything. It's like when I found out that pro wrestling wasn't real. It's like when Michael Jordan retired. I couldn't believe it. Diddy? Selfish? About himself? Man, not Diddy. You know, it's 2018, going to 2019, Danity Kane, and y'all just can't be running your mouth and talking down on Sean Combs, who's given so much to hip hop. The Italian Stallion, the Shiny Suit Heir, his son, King Combs. You never saw the, was it All Eyes on Me, the video they did with the lowrider and he's crip walking? And come on, man, this is Diddy for the culture. How dare you? The funny thing about this is there was enough information for the Danity Coles and everybody else who's come after Danity Cole to understand how Diddy operates. And you tell me one person that has really, or tell me anybody who's currently signed to Bad Boy, not named Sean Combs, who's winning right now. I'll wait till next episode. Y'all can come back to me on that one. You know, it's silly. It's silly. Other news, Wyclef. Mr. Fuji, Mr. Gone to November, he will actually be back very soon because Netflix is going to go ahead and turn his Haitian childhood upbringing into an animated film. So if you ever wanted to know what inspired Wyclef to become Wyclef, Netflix is going to give it to you in an animated style. And again, this is big up, a big win for hip hop. You know, we have The Wu coming to Netflix, or not Netflix, I'm sorry. The Wu's coming to Hulu, Wyclef Jean on Netflix. And it's just good to see hip hop continuing to branch out. Not that this is anything new, not that this has never been done before, but it is good to see the elders at this point. And I'm going to say Wyclef is getting up there when it comes to hip hop, being able to still eat, create, expand, and give back to the culture. So I think that's gonna be dope. I'll probably check it out just to see you know, what inspired the carnival. And well, that's the only other Wyclef record I really know is the car. I think they did a carnival too. Again, speaking of new records, Freddie Gibbs and Currency, produced by The Alchemist. It's called Fetty. Have not had a chance to listen to it, but that is definitely on my list tomorrow. When I go on my walks, I'm definitely running through that. Big fans of Gangsta Gibbs and Currency. I got hip too late, but I'm a fan of the Spitter. So, an Alchemist. I mean, our boy Al, probably top five producer all time. I mean, that's up for debate. We can definitely talk about that. We got to do an in-depth producer episode on an honest conversation about hip-hop. Definitely got to do that. I think that will be a dope episode to get in and talk to, because there's just so many different styles, producers that you can go ahead and bring up. So let us know. Give me your top five producers of all time, and you can go to our Instagram page at an honest Conversation About Hip Hop Podcast. That's AHCAHH_podcast. So you can follow us there, or you can catch us on Facebook, An Honest Conversation About Hip Hop. Just go ahead and put that in the search bar, and you can go ahead and like and follow the group. And I'll post something this week asking, give me your top five producers of all time. And I mentioned Jermaine Dupri a little earlier in this show. And for those that don't know, I'm an Atlanta Falcon football fan. And I still watch the NFL with everything that's going on. Not afraid to admit that, because I love the sport of football. And it's also kind of my go-between sport until basketball starts again. And basketball's here. Big ups to my Chicago Bulls, even though we're sorry as hell. So, Super Bowl is in Atlanta this year. And they're having a really hard time trying to book Super Bowl performances. So, Jermaine Dupri stepped in to curate the music and is saying now that, hey, artists, we should not be boycotting the Super Bowl. Cardi B, Jay-Z, Rihanna. I'm trying to think of some other names who have said, nah, we're not doing the Super Bowl until Kaepernick gets a job. So Jermaine has stepped in, and I understand that this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for this generation of artists in Atlanta to show, you know, who they are and, you know, what it is that they can do. So, you know, I definitely understand that. But I understand the other side of the coin, too. Do you support something that you know does not support your people directly? So JD is in a tough spot, and it'll be interesting to see what he can do. I mean, he's not a big enough name to headline the Super Bowl show. I mean, if that's who they end up getting, the Super Bowl show with Jermaine Dupri, people are going to be like, who the hell is Jermaine Dupri? I mean, let's just be honest. It's been a long time since his name was relevant in today's current hip-hop climate. Bow Wow gives him some love every once in a while. Well, not love, but gives him light when he talks about their past working relationships and, you know, things of that nature. But his name doesn't hold the weight like it once did. So, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens with that. Another question for you guys. Who do you think, or what do you think? Well, let me take that back. Do you think that artists should, if given the opportunity, should play the Super Bowl show? Because, again, it is that big. It's one of those benchmarks, mainstream benchmarks. And I know there's a bunch of artists out there that will never get that opportunity. So I want to hear what you guys have to say in regards to that. Go ahead again, hit up Facebook, hit up Instagram, and let us know. Or just reply when I post this for promotion. Reply and let us know that if you agree, or how you feel about artists going to go ahead and perform at the Super Bowl. Because definitely someone's doing it. Too big of an opportunity to miss, and someone will do it, and they'll have a reason to justify it. And before we kill them, let's just listen. You know, let's just listen. I don't know who I'd pick. Who I'd say would be a safe pick to do it. I mean, if he wanted to maybe do a throwback to Atlanta with some of the great groups that don't get the love that they should, like the Young Bloods, Goody Mob, you know, I think that would be tight. But again, that doesn't really have any mainstream appeal. So I wouldn't be surprised if we get like some country type performance with Nelly coming out and doing that track he had with, what was it called, Over and Over Again, or something to that effect. So again, we'll definitely see in regards to that. So, touring news. We got a couple of people going out on tour. ASAP Rocky, 2019, he is going out on tour. I'm not even going to lie to you. Didn't catch ASAP's last album, and never was a big ASAP Rocky fan. So, you know, I know the ASAP Mob is pretty big. So I'm sure when they go out and do their thing, if they tour together, you know, I'm pretty sure that shouldn't be a problem for Rocky to sell those dates. Supposedly 19 dates is what he's going out on. Tiffany Haddish, comedian extraordinaire, and currently the, you know, one of those hot names within the urban entertainment industry. She's actually going out on, I think, what is her first major tour. And she's kicking off the tour on New Year's. So we'll see. We'll see if Kat and all the other people who have said some sly-ish about Miss Haddish are right when it comes to whether or not she's going to be able to hold up a tour on her own. I'm definitely rooting for her or any person that's out there trying to better themselves and get some money. So it'll definitely be interesting. I've never seen a stand-up comedy routine of hers. I've seen a couple movies. My wife hit me to Girl Trip, and there's another flick that's out there now that wifey wants to see. But you know, maybe we'll catch it, maybe we won't. But hopefully this, you know, helps further cement her in the community. So I don't know. We'll see. Did you know that LL Cool J was discovered by Ad Rock of the Beastie Boys? Did not know that. So big ups to them or big ups to Ad Rock for finding Todd Smith and helping Todd Smith around the way. I know everybody's waiting for that Anderson .Paak Oxnard album. It's rumored to have J. Cole, Kendrick, Dre, Pusha T, and Q-Tip, among others, on the album. So Anderson is very dynamic. So it'll be interesting to see where he takes us with the album and to see who follows. This should be a big year for Aftermath. In other news, Aftermath news, John Connor, probably like, who the hell is that? Nah, not the dude from Terminator, but I want to say he was an artist, if I'm not mistaken, from Atlanta, and a spitter. Signed with Aftermath, I want to say over 5-6 years ago, and was one of those people that was supposed to be next. And recently we have Busta. Saying that he blames his career stall on Dre. And we've talked about this in other shows, the Raekwons, the Joel Ortiz's, the Rakims. We can go on and on. The people that Dre has had, and for whatever reason, have never seen the light of day while being signed to Aftermath. So I guess John Connor is in that same boat now and is not feeling it, and would like his release from Aftermath. So it's sad because a lot of these guys sitting back who were signed 5 or 6 years ago, timing is what really hurt them, because if they would have been in the now, meaning now, if John Connor would have been John Connor with the little buzz, or with the buzz, I won't say little buzz, but the buzz he had 5 years ago, now he wouldn't have needed to sign with a Dr. Dre. But that shows you how quickly the industry has changed in a short amount of time. And that's one of the beauties of hip hop currently. I know I talk a lot of shit about the mumble rappers and how internet made hip hop watered down and too easy. But what it did was it also gave power back to the artist. So you can go for your own and do your own thing. You don't need to be signed to a powerful label any longer. So that is definitely one of the beautiful things. And unfortunately, you know, we have folks that were just in the wrong place at the wrong time. And, you know, we've lost a lot of artists who fell by the wayside. Cats who cannot release music. Cats that don't own their masters. And now, fortunate for you folks who are trying to get your music out there now, you don't have to really go ahead and deal with that. Be your own person. Put out your own music and control your own destiny. And that is one thing I will give hip hop now. It's a beautiful thing. That's something that we didn't have when we were trying to come up. Y'all have that now. And also for your older dudes who are sitting back, you have that ability now too. You can put your own music out and connect directly with the fans, the old heads like myself, who are looking for that music. Speaking of old heads, Styles P has dropped The Dime Bag, which is getting rave reviews from everybody. Pharoah Monch has some new music out. So 2018 is going to be one of those years that, in my opinion, can be argued in maybe one of the best years of hip-hop. Not the best. We've talked about that. We've talked about 93. We've talked about 96, 94. We've talked about some great years. 2018 is, in my opinion, going to kind of hopefully raise that bar. So 2019, some of the things that we're hearing are coming, should be good looks. Hopefully in 2020, we get some of that as well. So we can continue to get a mix of the traditional hip hop that we all love and expect, and the different genres, the different lanes that it has branched off to. A little something for everybody. So I'm excited for some of the stuff that is rumored to be dropping in the future, and see how that is received. But I think I'm gonna wrap it up, man. I think we're gonna call it a show for this evening. I'm gonna hold on to a few things topic wise. I want to get a little more detail before I go ahead and put this energy or put this information out into the air. With that said, let me just really quickly shout out Jay Reddy, Ball House Music, ballhousemusic.com. That's who you're going to be here playing behind me right now is my boy Jay Reddy, Tulsa, Oklahoma in the house. Big ups to him. You can go ahead and check him out, ballhousemusic.com. So, again, with that said, I just want to thank you for hanging out with your boy, Hip Hop Old Head, a.k.a. D. Moraney, a.k.a. Hip Hop's Uncle Phil. I will be back next week with another solo bolo, whatever you want to call it, episode of An Honest Conversation about Hip Hop. We will be back to discuss No Skips. Which albums, if you had to have a conversation with somebody, debate somebody, could you give me three albums that have no skips? Intros, outros, skits, songs, no skips. It's rocking from front to back. There's a difference between a classic and a no skip. And that's what we're going to talk about on the next episode of An Honest Conversation about Hip Hop. The no skip hip hop record. So again, it's your boy D. Moraney, a.k.a. Hip Hop Old Head, a.k.a. Hip Hop's Uncle Phil. Thank you for giving me just a little bit under an hour of your time. Again, we'll be back next week with another episode of Solo Dolo with yours truly. And coming soon, the No Skip episode of An Honest Conversation about Hip Hop. So, again,